Hello again. Well, welcome to Sunday the 14th of June, and today's broadcast for children in the Way group from Sittingbourne Baptist Church and beyond, maybe. I never know who's listening, so it's somebody, it might touch somebody outside of our church, outside of Sittingbourne, and because it's being accessed through the website, it could really just go far out there, so wherever you are and wherever you're listening and whenever you're listening, you might not even be listening in 2020. I hope this blesses you. So it's geared for children that are 11 years and above. So I hope that's you. Although today's verses are quite safe. What we're going to be discussing today is relatively safe. But just in case I forget, you know, obviously I'm expecting me to talk to the older group, so you know, it's just better to make sure that you're in that age group. So before we go any further, a little brain teaser for you. I'm thinking of something and I'd like you to guess what it is. I'll give you 5 clues. They get easier as you go, so you get less points as we go along. So for 5 points, this is something that you wear. Can you guess what that is? For 4 points, it can have long sleeves or short. For 3 points, it covers the top part of your body. For 2 points, it has a collar. And for 1 point, it usually has buttons somewhere down the front, either all the way down or just a little way down. So, did you guess what it was? If you guessed that it was a shirt, then you're correct. Well done. It's just for fun, so I hope you enjoy that. Just to let you know that I am recommending a song that goes with today's broadcast. You can find it on YouTube, and it's called I've Got the Joy, 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 Joy Down in My Heart, 4 joys. And it's also being made available on the youth resources of the Sittingbourne Baptist Church website. So if you go on the website, you scroll all the way down to the bottom, beyond sermon notes, and go to youth, and on there you will find youth resources, and it's one of the videos that's been embedded in there for you. There are other resources on there as well. And I'd also like to let you know that Limitless have got some things that they are doing for this August in 2020. In place of the camping that we would do, they are making some videos available. And also they're going to have a day of prayer, and which is going to be for young children, for the youth, about the youth. So they definitely want youth people and youth workers to attend that. And that's going to be made available through the virtual platform. So I'll let you know more details about that as we get them. And right, so let's get into this. So today we're looking at 2 verses of the Bible, which part of this new 5-part series that we're starting, which is Things That Christians Should Know. And this is the first one. And today we're going to look at John chapter 3 verse 16 and John chapter 10 verse 10. If you remember, I mentioned that at the end of last week's broadcast so that you could read ahead on these chapters to sort of see what they say. So we're going to start with John chapter 3 first. And just have a look at what it says, and as Christians, what our take on it can be. So this verse really is what Christians use as the bedrock of Christian faith. People use it to convince others of God's love and what it means to be born again. So being a born again Christian means that the things that you do and the reasons that you do them are really more focused on God and what God God's love and what God's intentions are. So you're not looking at what is the best thing for you. You're looking at what is the best thing, and you have more of a heavenly focus. You have, you know, you go through the same problems that other people have, but you don't see it quite the same way. When you're born again, you give your life to God to be used as an instrument to draw others to God. And the things that you do and the reasons that you do it change. So it's like taking a 180-degree turn. So you may be going to the right and doing things your own way for your own selfish, you know, ambitions or selfish desires. And then when you give your life to Christ, you repent of that life and you repent of those intentions and you turn your life around. So now you're walking towards the left. You've turned away from the right and you've turned away from those things and the things that you were doing. And it's not that you give up all your activities, because people sometimes get the idea that when you're a born again Christian, you can't have fun. And that is not true. That's not right. You can have fun. You can still enjoy jokes. You can still enjoy a lot of the things that you normally used to do. But you might have to change some of the things that that influence your life, because you really have to change your mind and how your mind works and why you're doing the things that you do. So there are some things in your life that have to change. You might need to change your friends. You don't have to have all Christian friends. I certainly didn't have that when I was growing up and I was a Christian. I can't even remember when I first dedicated my life to God. And I did that as a very young girl and started going to church. My family went to church, but not as regularly as I wanted. They didn't go every Sunday. And I wanted to go more. So I gave my life to Christ when I was about 8. And then I started changing what I did and why I did it. And I wanted to go to church more. I wanted to spend time with Christians. And I wanted to read my Bible more. I wanted to understand more about this God that I had given my life to. And the things that I was doing changed. It just changed. It changed my friends. There were some people that, although I would talk to them, I wouldn't have said that we were friends, because I didn't agree with some of the things that they wanted to do, or some of the things that they said, or how they treated other people. And slowly I just moved away from them. And I started walking with a different group of friends. And when I look back now, I can see that it really did change my life. And not all of my new friends went to church, but they were better behaved people and they were nicer to other people. They were more accepting of other people's differences. So when I look back, I can sort of see that I was changing in line with what God wanted me to do. I still read certain novels that I enjoyed. I still did that. But God doesn't change you all in one go. He changes you a little bit at a time. It's sort of like somebody said, it's like a person is like an onion, really. And we all have several layers. And so God will peel off one layer and let you sort of get used to this new face of yourself and see maybe there might be some bad things you need to change. And then he gives you a bit of time to work on that and to change, to make those changes. As you're doing that, your skin gets a bit harder and you get a bit more toughened up, as it were, like the skin of an onion might go brown over time. And then once you've sort of like settled down and you've made those changes and you've adapted your life in line with to be more in line with God's will, then he peels off another layer. And then that's raw, and it's maybe sometimes even uncomfortable. And maybe you might see a side of yourself that you don't quite understand and don't really know how did we get here and all of that. And God lets you deal with that and over time. And it's like a layer of your life, of your old life, is peeled off a little bit at a time. The more you expose yourself to God and the more you accept his ways are better than your ways, then the more he will keep shaping you to be more like him and to live a life that is more pleasing to him. Of course, if you resist the changes, then he won't go any further. You might get stuck in one layer having been taken off, and that's all you can manage at the moment. And then over time, you might be ready for that layer to be stripped off. But anyway, so that's that about being born again. You're changing your life to be more like God, and you decide to do things or to be good because of God's love for you, not because of your own selfish ambitions or what you might get out of it. So when we look at John chapter 3, verse 3, this is, it just basically said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish or die, but have eternal life." And we can see from this that it's God who loved the world first. God loves the world. He doesn't just love Christians. He doesn't just love the people that see him and acknowledge him or that give their lives to him. God loves everyone in this world. He loves you. He loves me. He loves every person in this world. And if God would have his way, then everybody would end up getting into heaven. But God has decided to give people free will. And the choices that we make sometimes mean that we do not qualify to go to heaven. But God's actual intention through his love is for the whole world to go to heaven. It's us that then choose not to go to heaven. And we can see here that God's love was so great for the world that it came out as an action. He gave. And he gave his one and only Son. And when we have God's love in us, this is what our response should be. We should look to give. When we have God's love in our heart, we give. That is how that love works. God loved us, loved the whole world, and he gave his Son. So when we love God, we should look for how we can give. And because God is not physically here like a person that you could give him anything, then we are compelled to give to the people around us. So our love, our returned love to God should also be an action, should be that we should be compelled to give. So here, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. This is like having, I collect pens. I love pens and I love having different variety of pens. And sometimes people give me pens that are all shiny and they look so new and they look so pretty. And maybe you can click them, or maybe they have a highlighter on the end, or maybe you twist to open them, or, you know, imagine having a special pen. If for me, it would have to be a special pen. If I had a special pen and it was the only one of its kind and it was one that I really, really loved. Now, the person I'm going to give that pen to, I really have to love that person because it's my only one. It's not like I've got seven. Okay, I've only got one. So for me to give that away, it will have to be to somebody that I really loved. And that was the same with God. God only had one son called Jesus Christ. And for him to gain the whole world, he gave us Jesus. It was like an unfair exchange. It was like, it's like if I was maybe going to swap this for a pencil from Wilko's or something, and I would swap my amazing pen for a pencil from Wilkins, that it just is not on the same level. And that is the same. God values our lives so much that he gave us Jesus Christ. He gave up Jesus Christ as the price to buy our love. To buy, you can't buy love, but to buy our attention, really. And some people just don't value what God gave up. They don't see it and they don't appreciate that it was a lot. And so they ignore God and they carry on their lives. But what they don't realize is that there is so much to get from loving God. There is so much more that he has to give us, but we'll talk about that in a minute. So, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever, I think it's the King James Version, says whosoever. And I love the fact that it wasn't the qualifications for getting God's love, okay, is just that you have to believe in him. You don't have to be tall or short or old or young or anything like that. You don't have to be clever. You don't have to have gone to school for a certain number of years or have any degrees or anything like that. You just have to be a person. Whosoever, whoever you are, you qualify for God's love if you believe in him. And that's the only thing. You have to believe that God loves you. And that love showed up when he gave Jesus Christ. And if you believe that, whoever you are, God says that the benefits of it is that you will not die, but you will have eternal life. Obviously, that's eternal life in heaven. But this eternal life also has an earthly basis to it. And we're going to see that more when we look at John chapter 10, verse 10. So imagine that God's active love was shown in him giving up Jesus Christ for us, for you, for me, for the beggar on the street, for every person on this earth. God loved that person so much that if they were the only person, or if you were the only person on this earth, God would still have swapped you for Jesus Christ. He loves you that much. And when we realize that love of God, well, I tell you, it's breathtaking. It's breathtaking because, like I'm saying about my shiny pen, there's some people that I look at and I just think, no way am I even giving you an ordinary pen, never mind my nice, shiny one and only one. So if you have something that is precious to you, you really will not want to give it up. And God only had one son. And it took a lot of love for him to give it up. But then he was like, he didn't hesitate. He didn't think about it. He was like, yes, these people are worth it. That you were worth it. God thinks you're worth the best, shiniest example of whatever you value. He thinks you're better than that. He would happily give up his only son for your life, for you to have eternal life, and for you to be friends with him. For you to turn your life around and start acknowledging that, God, you exist and you love me, and I can show you my love back in action to the people around me. So awesome. I love that verse. Okay. And this is the basis of like showing anybody that you don't have to be super special or amazing or clever or whatever to be God's friend. All you have to do is to believe in him and believe that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for you. And then you can be, you can turn your life around. Okay, so what do we get out of this? Right, when we start looking at John chapter 10, verse 10, it starts off a little bit morbid, and it starts off a little bit as if it's lost its head. It doesn't know what it's talking about. So the verse says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. This is Jesus talking, and he's explaining to people about the devil and what the devil's intentions are, and sort of like his job description. He is there to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That is all that the devil wants to do. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your happiness, steal things that make you strong, things that give you courage, things that give you hope. He wants to steal all of that. He wants to steal your happy days. He wants to steal your picnics and the things that make you smile. He wants to steal that. He wants to kill. He would love to kill you, basically, if he had his way. He would just love to kill all the Christians or all the people that believe in God. He would just love to kill you so that you cannot touch and affect other people. He'd like to kill other people around you so that you're miserable and you feel sad about everything. He would like to destroy your life and destroy your joy. There are times when I'm walking along and maybe I trip over something or nothing, and I just trip and I manage to recover my balance and I carry on walking. At those times especially, I always thank God, because I know that the devil's plan at that time would have been for me to fall over badly and get hurt, which is bad enough, or die. He would just love for me to die, because then I can stop talking about God, stop influencing other people, stop being such a strong person who goes through tough times, with maybe not a smile on my face, but with courage and with endurance and still trusting and believing in God and hoping in Him and knowing that I can change my life and that there is a hope and a future and that whatever's going on, God is still God and He's on the throne. The devil would love to destroy my strong spirit. He would love to destroy the ability that I have, that whatever is going on around me, I can still find, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel. I can still find a reason to say, thank God for this. He would love to destroy the fact that I can write down at the end of every day something good that's happened to make me smile. He would love to destroy that. And he would love to destroy that I pass it on to my children, I pass it on to people around me, and I write words of encouragement for the newsletter. He would love to destroy that. He would love to destroy anything that is good and hopeful and perfect in me. He would love my life to be dull and miserable, where I complain about everything and I'm not happy, and I spread that to loads of other people. He would love to destroy the fact that I've got friends who love me and that who enjoy having cups of tea with me and all of that. He would love to destroy all of that. And that's his job. That's what he comes to do. But look at this contrast, because thankfully, this verse doesn't stop on that miserable point. Okay, it goes on. It says, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come, this is Jesus talking, and he says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Okay, this is it. Skipping down the high street type of life. The life where maybe things are not going 100% as you would like, but you would still be able to find something to make you smile, something to make you, as I say, skipping down the high street, you know, completely unabashed by who's around, who can see you, just having that pure, unadulterated joy in you, where you know that, look, my Savior lives. The person who gives me life, the person who helps me through every problem, Jesus, is in my life and is doing something for me today. That feeling of hope and a future of knowing that things might not be 100%, and yes, there are some things that I still need to sort out, but things are not as bad as they were yesterday, and tomorrow they're going to get better. Just that feeling of knowing, you know, you can do it, that even though you might feel tired or you might feel weary, that you can do anything because God can give you the strength to do it. That's what the devil is trying to destroy, that life, the life that's not influenced by the things around you. The life that Jesus died for you to have is a life of joy every day, not being affected by the circumstances or people being rude or horrible around you or saying horrible things about you. Yes, that can hurt, but it doesn't have to spoil your whole day. You can still have a life of joy. And it's that joy that the devil is trying to steal. And that is the life that Jesus wants you to have. And he carries on and he says, and to have it to the full. When you have that sort of life to the full, people seeing you skipping down the high street will think, oh yeah, okay, she's lost it. But it will make them smile. It'll give them a little bit of that joy. When you have it to the full, you can't even keep it inside. It is going to overflow. Imagine a cup that is full to the brim of water. And you just know that one more drop is going to make it run over. And when it's running over, that's when it starts to affect other people. that's when it starts to get to be a problem for the devil. Because now you're not the only one who's enjoying life. Now you're helping other people to enjoy life. Now you're helping others to be strong and to have hope. Now you're encouraging others not to focus on negative things, but to focus on the positives. And now that is eternal life that God wants us to have. When you start leading people to heaven, now that is the person that God loved so much that he gave his only son for. So it just amazes me here that the difference, what God did when he loved us was an action. And when we have that abundant life and it starts to overflow, it becomes an action. We start to reach our wider community. Another thing that I saw from this is that the devil has three bad things that could happen, that he could do in our lives. And that was to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And when Jesus came, and his solution was only one thing, to give us life, and that to the full. And that just tells me there is only one solution for every problem in my life. Whatever my situation might be, whatever my problem might be, whatever your problem might be, there is only one solution. Complete and utter surrendering to Jesus Christ. Giving every area of your life to him so that he can peel off that apple. And yes, it's uncomfortable. And yes, it might be a little bit smelly. And yes, it might need to be dealt with. But don't hide from it. Let him help you, because that's the reason he came. That's the reason God sent Jesus into our lives, so that he can help us to sort ourselves out and be completely, completely immersed in God, in God's love. So when you're thinking about giving your life to Christ, you might do it a few times through your life. I remember I did it a few times, and some of the times I really didn't know what I was doing. Maybe I was just listening to Billy Graham tape and I just thought, oh yeah, I'll just give my life again just in case I had messed it up last time. But as you get older, you might come to a point where you decide you want to give your life to Christ and you want to make a proper commitment to him. Don't forget that apart from all the other things that God gives us, he does give us that joy. And that is why I'm recommending that song. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. So do try and access it on YouTube. If not, look at the resource page of the Sitting Bone Baptist Church website. And in closing, I'd like to let you know about what we'll be discussing next week. It's something very similar. Well, it leads on quite nicely, which is why I'm glad that God gave me the idea of all of these things that Christians should know. So what Christians should know for next week is the fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to be looking at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. But for now, before we go, I would like to remind you that God loves you. He really, really does. He loves you personally. And he would love to work with you to make your life the life that Jesus Christ died for you to have, so that it's full of joy. Let us pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for today and thank you for this that I've been able to share. I pray that it touches people's hearts and that it helps them to make a 180-degree turn so that they do things with you as a focus to glorify and exalt your name and to grow the kingdom of heaven. I pray that you will bless them during the lockdown time and beyond, and you'll help them to be so full of the life that you give them that it'll overflow to reach other people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. See you next time.